Valdom, tu as tofos for the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 133 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan, in Tubing in Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, still in Vancouver.
Still in Vancouver, yes. Welcome to the show, everybody. I guess that's what I meant by welcome to the episode at the beginning.
Yeah, this is kind of part of what we're doing as
but
a
I,
show.
I wrote down welcome twice by accident, and now I just read it. I'm just right off the prompter. Oh, boy. Amazon. Let me remind everybody again, if you're already buying stuff through Amazon, which you probably are, buy through our site, everybody wins.
Great.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. But not your friends' friends, because no one cares about them.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. It's too far removed. But your friends' friends should be buying through us. That would be awesome. Especially if they're buying elephants or... I'm assuming elephants are expensive.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
No.
And cost is the main factor there, because my kid would love an elephant. quick reminder as well, if you haven't noticed yet, the show, we said it'd be shorter. It was considerably shorter last week.
But awesome, nonetheless.
Awesome, yeah. It was like we took all the awesome parts and just condensed them down. So, you know when you go and buy, if you're going to make like a pumpkin pie, you get condensed milk?
Right.
This is condensed awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the show is going to be a little bit shorter for the next little while. And, again, we wanted to make sure that our listeners had new shows when Adam and I could not find time to record together. Nothing bad is happening. I should have mentioned that last week. It's all good stuff. It's just our schedules just don't line up. So, in order to bring you new stuff, we're gonna bang a bunch together here and air them when each week. There you go. Didn't want to break the streak, Adam.
Right. No, we've got quite a run going.
Yes, 133 without missing. So, there's that. Look out, Cal Ripken. Adam, people have been emailing us, and I'm just going to say emailing, and we'll call that everything that is possible.
Okay.
Like the comments.
They're not calling you on the
people
telephone.
Are phoning me in the middle of the night because of the time difference. They forget.
Right.
No, I'm talking about, you know, the Twittering or the I think the word now is pinging. If you just try to get in touch with somebody or try to get in touch, you're pinging them.
Okay. So I'm following that? You. Yeah. No, I would never say that, but yeah.
No, I didn't like it before, but now I do. I like it now. Because
I still don't like it.
Have you seen Hunt for Red October lately, though?
No.
Really?
Not lately. I've seen it many times. I haven't seen it lately.
Why?
I don't watch it every second Friday.
Oh, that seems a little bit much. Once or twice a year, I think, is probably right.
Okay.
I love that movie. I love that. And then when they use pings in that movie quite a lot. It's kind of a plot detail.
Okay.
Anyways, so now, because of Hunt for Red October, I like the word ping.
Okay, I see where this is all going.
No, you don't, because I have no clue where it's going.
Yeah, you're like me in Walmart. You're just going in every which direction.
Yes, I've never been to a Walmart.
Okay, well, there's lots of shiny things to look at.
I assumed that was the point. but people are pinging us and letting us know that they are buying the Yong Nuo stuff because of you.
There you go. And I'm getting nothing from it. So, you know.
A swelled head.
Yeah, well, that for sure. Yeah.
So you need to get in touch with the Yong Nuo folks.
I should, yeah.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm just pitching their product for you know, my own sense of sharing what is really great. That's it. I have nothing to gain, but I want other people to be as happy as I am.
There's a word for you, for what you're doing.
Altruistic?
No.
Okay.
It's evangelist.
Oh, great.
You're a product. No, no, that's the thing. That was Apple's entire marketing idea starting in the mid 80s, probably earlier, but it was really focused. I met the guy who was in charge of the evangelism back then. And that was their whole thing. And remember when everybody was annoyingly telling you who had a Mac? Oh, you got to get a Mac. You got to get a Mac.
Yes.
That was the point. They wanted to create a product so good and so usable and likable and all that stuff that everybody who had one wanted their friends to have that same experience.
Okay. Well, it worked because I think I've done that for Macs as well.
Yeah, I mean, those days are over. I don't think anyone does the Mac evangelism anymore. I mean, they're out there. They have this, you know, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is, quit selling Yong Nuo stuff for free. Our kids like to eat.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna really make a point of becoming a Yong Nuo salesman.
I feel like if we could get in touch with them, they would at least want to sponsor the show by sending us some free stuff.
All right, I'll get right on that.
Okay, so after this, no more mention of it until you get in touch with them.
Okay, no more mention of it.
Yeah, I forget the name of whoever it is.
I can't remember either, but I have some awesome triggers.
how have they been going? How have you been using them a lot?
I have been using them a lot. I say at least 50% of the time I take photos, I in some way am incorporating a flash. And that's the beauty of it, is I don't think I would do it if not for the ETTL a lot of the time, because my kids are running around and I'm just getting a random person, stranger, relative, whoever's nearby, here, hold on to this, and I can change everything from the camera if I want manual, and if not, and I just want to try to run and gun, it's just ETTL and let's see what we get.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. I mean, again, the results, just unachievable without the extra light, especially, I mean, if you have kids and you're taking the bulk of your photos outdoors in midday sun, you're going to get a lot of dark faces or a lot of blown out backgrounds. And you choose one or the other. And so this kind of gives you that in between, which is what you want, but in a way that isn't, you know, deer in headlights on camera flash right in their face. So
right. It
is awesome in that respect. So
do you own a monopod?
I do not.
Or a microphone. I'll call it a boom pole, but it's not really. It's actually a fish pole, if you know what you're talking about. But most people call it a boom pole.
No, I don't own that either.
I own both of those, but so I'm better than you. No, okay. The point is if you have one or the other, it is a great thing to mount your flash on for a voice-activated light stand for people to hold it and run around, and you can put the flash wherever you like. Quickly.
Right.
So that's something you might want to look into. We'll talk in the future about getting a monopod probably is more versatile.
Okay. I think, you know, that's a good idea. I do have plans to make some sort of hockey stick, do it yourself, like cut off hockey stick, do it yourself, flash holder.
Right.
So maybe I'm going to market that to Yong Nuo.
I think I would just go with the monopod for $50 and be much happier.
But it won't say Easton on it.
Oh, no. They'll felt pen it on there for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Easton. Not Louisville?
No.
Not Titan?
Maybe Titan.
Titan. I'd go with Titan. The old school.
Yeah. Wooden.
Oh, absolutely. No question. This week's challenge, we're going to get right into it.
Great.
Polarizer. That's what we talked about last week. Why polarizer? Why did I pick it for this time of year?
Because blue skies.
Blue skies, lots of sunshine, lots of reflection off. Well, hopefully you're hanging around the water.
Yes.
And in these sorts of times. And, you know, it comes in handy. So let's just look, go for our pictures first. The topic this week is going to be polarizing filters. So once again, our challenge dovetailed into the topic.
Wow.
It's like we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You first or me first on the challenge photo?
I'm gonna say me first.
You first. Me first and the gimme gimmies. Okay.
Yeah, only because, you know, you shot a with and without, and there's probably just more to talk about, whereas I just shot the photo and used both water and blue sky, because I thought that's kind of, you know, where the polarizer really shows itself.
It's one of the areas, and now you're right. Now, just to give a little hint at what's coming with mine, is I purposely avoided that because I figured you would go with that.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad you did. Otherwise, we would look silly, both shooting flowers. however, I kind of was hoping you'd go this way, and I wanted to give a different example of how to use it. But so let's talk about yours. You're down here at the water.
Yep. And that's my dad and my brother. And so I wanted to kind of, there was a nice, this was like 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, yep. Big time sun coming in at this time of day. And it's, and I, what I did was, because I'm using the polarizer, and it's because of the time of day and because I want to keep the blue sky and the blue water and everything, I had to use the ETTL off-camera flash. I didn't have to use it ETTL. I don't think I actually did. I used it in manual. And because of the polarizer, and I think we talked about this previously, I had to pump in a lot of flash to light them in order to overcome how dark the scene becomes when I think I shot it on an F8.
Right.
With it with an 85 millimeter on the crop camera. So I needed to shoot it in an F8 with that lens in order to get my exposure right and keep my 1/200th of a second shutter speed so that I could get enough flash power, because there's no way my wife is holding the flash off camera right, like I want to say 5 feet from them with full power on the flash in order to get enough light with the polarizing filter on the
and
camera.
That's a bare flash?
That's bare flash. Yeah. I think I put a quarter CTO on it. And just to kind of, you know, give them that sort of sunset sort of time of day look.
I'm glad you put the CTO on. It's a nice little touch. It's very important.
Yeah. So that's what I did. So between the quarter CTO and the F8 at 1/200th, I had to crank that baby full blast. So, and that's the result. So
well, the circular polarizer could cut up to.
I think it's two stops. The one I have is two stops.
Yeah, I was gonna say two to three stops, depending on where when you dial it in, and it's a bit of a light eater, but in this case it worked out great. I mean, I don't know what else you would have done. This looks great,
and so I did Photoshop out some of the reflection on their sunglasses because I blasted that flash right at them from or slightly off axis, but yeah, I had to do that to get them lit. So I took Photoshop to take the reflection off of their sunglasses.
Sure,
that's it.
I think that's very very reasonable. Yeah, this is one of those shots that without the polarizer you would not have got this blue of a sky.
Correct.
Now, it could go bluer. I mean, I like it because it's not an extreme example. It's not like, okay, blue.
Yeah.
You know, because it wouldn't look real. Because you can kind of tell, I don't know, I can tell what time of day this was taken. I knew this was midday. Now, it's a great example of a midday photo. But just the way everything else kind of, you know, it looks, you can tell it's midday. So during that time, you're not going to see normally the dark indigo skies.
Right.
So you didn't overdo it.
And I think that had I taken another photo without the polarizing filter to compare, I think where you would also notice not just the deeper blue than I would have achieved with everything else being the same, but also there is not much reflection on the water. So where that boat is, like, it really cuts out any reflection. So it looks, the water looks pretty clear. And it would not have appeared that way without the polarizer. But of course, I didn't take that photo, so we'll never know for sure.
No, I think we have a good idea though. That would have been crazy, the reflection off the water. So that does it. Cuts a lot of that out. It's a great use of the polarizing filter. Like of a shot, you probably wouldn't be able to achieve without that. So the one thing you could do further, if you wanted to, I'm not suggesting you do, is take it in aperture, really ramp up the blues and slightly saturate them and then slightly darken them with the what's the name of the, you know, the slider I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And pull that, and that would add a little bit more to the sky if you want. It's not important. But it's possible.
I may just do that.
You may,
and that is something that I occasionally do. But yeah, there is minimal post done on this photo other than the little glare off of the sunglasses.
You know what is actually pretty would be good in this situation is you can use one of the brushes to brush in that polarizing and just do it on the sky. Like in there's a polarizing brush in Aperture.
Right.
That you can go ahead and do that and dial it in, and with the edge detection on, it'll actually do a very good job of brushing in the sky and not your dad or your brother's face.
Interesting. I'll try that.
Yeah. And then once you brush that in, you can then go to the slider and decide how much you want. If you want to pull it back a little bit, you can basically create, you know, kind of like the opacity and just dial it back and go, I want a little bit less.
That is a very good tip.
Yeah, works out well. Now, that doesn't replace a polarizer, but it in this case, it adds to it. So, okay, let's look at my rose. The rose goes in the front, big guy.
I like it.
Okay, now this is, I wanted to shoot an example of, first of all, black and white. I knew I was going to go black and white before for the challenge. And I would wait for the right lighting situation, blah, blah, blah. Point being, I wanted to do something that was sort of atypical of what you think a polarizer does. So this is it. This is the rose in the sun, the end.
I'm looking at it with and without the filter. And I'll tell you something. There's part of this photo, and I don't know if you'll agree or not, that I like better without the full filter.
Okay, what part's that?
Well, it's the leaves. You know, you get the really nice rim light on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like almost like water droplets on the edges of the leaves, and you actually lose that in the filtered version.
You do. I like it without. I like the completely polarized filter version.
I do like the fact that it cuts out a lot of the background distraction that's in the no filter version.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had it my way, I would have liked the filtered version, except for keeping, you know, that rim light on the edges of the leaves, and you know the just the sharp sort of jaggedy edges that get lost in the filtered version.
I hear you.
Just brush that back in.
Done. I'm doing it as we speak.
Okay.
I'm gonna create a zoom burst out of it. No, I 100% understand what you're saying. I disagree. I like the version of just the flower. But again, that's a personal taste. That's nothing to do with anything else. So this is a situation where all I'm using the polarizer for is to basically cut out reflection, which in turn darkens the background. I did nothing else. If you look at the two different photos, the only difference besides the slight variation in framing, which is due to A, I wasn't using a tripod, B, the wind was blowing a little bit. It was a slight breeze, which blew the flower around a little bit.
Yeah.
So other than that, all I did was shoot the photo I wanted, quickly lose the polarizer, and shoot it again. This is all existing light. This is the sunlight hitting about 7 o'clock at night, something like that. And from a certain angle that I knew would create some really massive reflections on the leaves and the other foliage in the background, and just use the polarizer to cut it out.
Cool.
And that's
it. What color's that flower?
It's a good question. Whitish?
Okay.
Ish. Something.
I was just curious.
It's
just
funny you mentioned that.
In terms of how things render in black and white, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. That'll come up later in the show, actually. And that's by accident. This week's topic. Oh, who's a winner? I'll just pick one. Me. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, or something. Or tie. You want to just tie? I don't care.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tie.
That's fine. I don't really, two different subjects. What are you going to do? Although mine is square, though. I mean, if one of the criteria was who has the squarest crop, I think that then I would lean towards mine.
Okay.
Okay.
And if we're printing them as 4x6s?
Oh, definitely. I'd have to go back and decropify mine.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. Then in that case, again, I'd lean towards yours. So it could go either way.
Okay.
Could go either way. This week's topic is the polarizing filter, more specifically the circular polarizer. Now, why the circular polarizer?
Because that's the one we both have.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. I don't know. I was gonna get into all the science involved, But now I'm not.
Because I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really... Some people give a care.
Well, we're also trying to aim to get this in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and we're at 28 minutes now, so I really got to ramp this up.
Yeah.
No, we've talked about filters in general in the past, but now I want to talk specifically about why the polarizer is awesome. And it is awesome. Now, circular polarizer basically is my mind comes in two pieces. One that, well, it's together, but it winds on the camera, on the filter ring. And then it's got, like, mine has a little handle, a little knob that you can use to get a hold of it, and then turn it to maximize your polarizing effect.
Mine is exactly the same as you described.
There you go. And that's all you do is when you look through the viewfinder, you can dial in exactly how much polarizing you want to use. That's why the circular polarizer. So the funny thing is when you get it all dialed in, you get your shot ready, and then you turn it to shoot a portrait version of the same photo. You have to turn that polarizer again. You following me?
No, not exactly. Well, why do you have to turn it again?
Okay, you line up your shot, and you get your horizontal image.
Yes.
Okay, you're shooting a horizontally. What do you call it? Landscape mode.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
And then
yes.
You shift to take a portrait one, and then you have to basically shift the polarizer as well.
I got you.
Yeah,
I got you. Yeah.
The other thing is something to think about is does your lens, some of the cheaper lenses, when you focus, actually moves the barrel of the lens, turns, which can mess up your polarizing.
I have not experienced this yet.
18 to 55 might do it, which you don't use anymore.
I don't even have one.
Right. You used to.
Yeah, once upon a time.
Yeah, I'm not sure which lenses do it. Like a lot, like your expensive lenses focus, they move internally. And so the barrel of the lens outside does not move, so you're fine. However, some of the cheaper ones that will move, like it will turn, so then you have to then readjust your polarizing filter.
Okay, something to keep in mind.
Okay, so what does it do? We hinted at it, we talked about it, maybe we even just said it. What does a polarizer do in effect?
The way it's always been explained to me and that I look at it is it's basically like wearing a pair of sunglasses for your camera.
Sort of, if your sunglasses are polarized.
Which mine are. And that's another thing is I highly recommend getting polarized sunglasses.
Okay, so now there is a difference. Now, basic sunglasses are more akin to a ND filter. Which just cuts down the amount of light without changing its color, hopefully. Now, what a polarizer does is it basically eliminates reflected light from certain angles.
Right.
Which means it's going to, you got reflections sparkling off the water, it's going to eliminate a lot of them. Not always all of them. Some of them are still going to get through. It's going to, by doing that, because of, you know, the blue spectrum and all that stuff, Roy G. Biv, Google it. It's going to darken your blue skies. And the effect that has is if you have any white clouds up there, it's going to make those clouds really pop. I love that. That's an effect everybody loves, watching those white clouds just pop right out of the sky. Rather than be that sort of, you know, in that kind of light blue haze, they stick out.
Okay.
Another something else that what works really great. Now I half demonstrated this in my challenge photo is that it makes leaves and foliage look great as well. Now, if I had not made this black and white and just showed the two color versions, which I'm not going to bother doing, you would see that I would get kind of, you know, the kind of washed out green reflected leaves without the polarizer, deep dark bright green. With the polarizer.
So, yeah, and I think in my photo challenge, I think you do see the green and the blues really stand out.
Yeah. I mean, you still get a lot of reflection with the angle you're at. You still get a lot of reflection off that long grass.
Yeah.
But it probably would have been far worse. Far more reflection without that. So there are situations where you use it for landscapes. So let's have a quick example of when I snapped the other day, because I was out running around using my polarizing filter. and just snapped one on some water because the sun was coming in. Now, this isn't a photo of anything. This was taken strictly to show what the polarizer does.
Okay.
So here's one with, without the polarizer, with the sun shining off the water, and then right after it, polarizer. Big difference.
It's a huge difference.
And that's the only difference. I didn't change the exposure, anything, no angles, anything. All it was put the dial in the polarizing filter.
Yeah, so, and the one without the polarizer is completely washed out, no detail.
Mm-hmm.
And the one with, obviously, is exposed a lot better with lots of detail.
Right. That's it. So that's just a good example of when to use it. Now, I also shot one at the pool the other day because my plan was, you know, I'll bring my polarizer there as well in case I couldn't get a nice flower one, because you know how hard those are to get.
Right.
but I wanted to show a nice darkened sky version as well. And so here's my kid at the pool with her awesome sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice deep dark blue sky in the background that I would not have got without a polarizer.
Okay.
So there you go. So here's another example of when to use it.
And how green the trees are as well.
And how green the trees are, and there's no reflection off the pool. Like, there's a lot of reasons to use it. So what I'm saying is that if you're going to buy a filter, buy one of these. This is not only is this the first filter you should buy, before you go out and worry about other fancy gear like Adam's beloved Yong Nuos,
mm-hmm.
I recommend buying a polarizing filter. I agree.
I second that. That was the first filter I bought.
Yes. I highly recommend it. If you have multiple lenses, I would not buy multiple filters. I would do what I did, which is why I did it, is I happen to have a 72 mil. I came across a 72 mil circular polarizer. Now, none of my lenses take a 72 mil filter. However, for about $3 or $4 each, I can buy step-up rings that basically adapt it to my 58 mil wind-on and my 67 mil wind-on.
Mm-hmm.
So now this one filter can be put on essentially almost every one of my lenses. The only one it doesn't fit on is the wide-angle, my 17-40, because it's a much larger filter ring. And plus, with a wide-angle lens, it doesn't work so good anyways.
Okay.
So there's that. So check that out. If you do buy one, if you have one that fits, like for you, yours fits on both your 85 and your 50.
Yeah, they're the same filter size. So
perfect.
For me, you know, it was twice the cost to go up and buy the filter size for the 70-200. So I opted for the fact that, okay, I just won't use it on that lens, but I have the option of using it on the 50 or the 85, which was good enough for me at half the cost.
I would have made the exact same decision. That's the move I would have made. Now you can get a step down filter and put that 58 mil on your 67 mil wind on.
Right. And then you're only going to be seeing the middle of it, right?
Yeah. And if you're zooming in all the way, you might not.
It won't matter.
It might not matter. I mean, you might see some vignetting. You likely will, but worth trying for $4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I have tossed around the idea of it and then just, not bothered.
Yeah,
it's kind of my move.
It is. That's a good move. Now here's the thing: is in certain situations, you can increase the contrast of your images, which is nice. Which is you want to make things like I said, you want to make the white clouds pop out of the blue sky. That's a great situation to. That's a great side benefit.
Okay.
I should have scripted that line instead of just stumbled over it three times.
Yeah.
however, here's the thing is that they don't really talk about. The dirty little secret is sometimes it can actually lower your contrast depending on your situation.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, I've been having issues depends like in around the green trees and stuff like that. Sometimes you use colors or those kind of highlights to have your subject stand out from the background. And when you eliminate that, it can kind of blend things together.
Okay.
So by lowering the contrast of certain colors and not others, it can kind of bring it too flat. And one issue that I've noticed, now here, this is unique to me and a few other genetically inferior people, is with reds and greens. I took a lot of nice photos, what I thought were nice photos at the time, of my kid playing in that creek and using the polarizer, and she was wearing red, had a red watering can she was playing with, and then when I used the polarizer, it kind of flattened it out against the green trees in the background. Now, for you, maybe not an issue.
Right.
For me, I'm red-green colorblind. And okay. All of a sudden, it doesn't look right. Did you check out that link I sent you about the colorblind test?
I did. I am not colorblind.
Okay, so I'm going to include that link just so people have an idea of what's going on. I'm sure people have heard of colorblind before, and I'm not going to get into all the different kinds. I'm red-green, not blue-yellow. If you look at the link there, you know, the very first one that comes up is the number 16. I don't know if you remember.
I remember now that you say it.
Okay. The only reason I remember that it's the first one is number 16 is because that's the only one I can see. Now, if you scroll through the rest of them, I thought, you know, I've been colorblind since I was in grade one, so it's just no surprise to me. But, you know, you see these things and you think a joke is being pulled on you. Like the person's just having a laugh. Like there is no number there. But I had my wife do it and she nailed all of them.
Right.
And so you can see all the numbers all the way down.
Yes.
Okay. I cannot. And so that's a situation where, you know, reds and greens kind of blur together. So that's not such a good situation. And it's made worse by the polarizer. So there's that.
Okay.
So that's a situation. Now, there's other situations where it can make, you know, browns and greens kind of blend together. You'll figure it out. If that's what's happening, if that's what you're noticing, then take a look at the polarizer and see if that maybe you don't need the polarizer in that situation. Other downside to using one, can you think of any?
It eats light.
It eats light. It does eat light. You need a lot of light to use this. The shot of my daughter at the pool is 100% available light, as you can tell by the kind of unflattering shadows on the bottom of her face. I don't even know if a flash would have helped in this situation because it was that bright, and in order to even it out, it would have taken probably two flashes on full.
Right.
So with the polarizer. So you're right, it does eat a lot of light. Anything else? I'll give you a hint. No, speed-wise.
No. Speed-wise. Well, and it's different than it eating light?
It slows you down. Your workflow is slowed down slightly.
Okay.
Because you do now have to consider it. You do now have to dial it in. You can't just run around and run a gun with it. I mean, you can, except for you're not going to get maximum polarization out of it.
Right.
So you have to dial it in essentially for each shot. Every time you change an angle, because when you want nice dark blue skies, it only works at certain angles. Like if you kind of have the sun off to the side coming in at an angle, that's when you get the maximum effect of the blue sky. So in the situation of my daughter at the pool, the sun is to her right.
Okay.
And up. It's probably, you know, at around noon 30. So. Mm-hmm. However, it is off to her right a little bit, and I made sure to keep the sun on that angle to maximize the blue sky effect. If I were to shoot with my back to the sun, it would still work, but it wouldn't be as deep blue. So as you shift around, you'll notice that the effect changes, and so you have to dial it in for that angle. So that can slow you down if your kids are running around.
Okay, so good tip.
Did you notice that when you were shooting yours of your dad and your brother, where was the sun placed? It looks to me like it's kind of off to their left.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
It's up and to their left. High in the sky, but to their left.
So your wife is to their left. So your wife is camera left to their right.
No, my wife is on the same side.
Oh, on the same side. Okay, because we're getting light on like the back of your dad's neck.
Yes.
So
I'm not, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure if where that, like, my wife is on the same side the sun is. The sun is obviously very high. I think some of that might be the sun hitting hitting like between their, like, on my brother's shoulder and on the back of my
that has dad's to be the neck. Sun. Yes.
Yeah. But it is, the sun is kind of to directly to their left and high in the sky. So
okay,
directly overhead, probably.
Right. So I'm going to assume that had you basically moved, which would affect your background and you know, would not be ideal. But if you had moved 90 degrees to your right and spun around, like, to basically where your wife was standing, you probably would have achieved a slightly darker blue sky.
Yeah, and it's a totally different background in this shot, which is why I didn't, and I wanted just the boats as the background. But yeah, it's a completely different mountain background, a bunch of trees. Like, it wasn't ideal. So I chose background over how the polarizer was going to work.
You chose correctly.
Yeah,
And that's America in the background, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. That's
for our American listeners. That's America.
Yeah.
Olympic Peninsula, I believe.
Okay, I didn't know exactly what that was called, but yes, I believe. It is America.
Yeah. So there you go. So it does slow you down, but completely worth it. And also, it can affect your autofocus sometimes, I've noticed. Particularly on my 70 to 200, I've snapped a couple of photos that I thought were, wow, this is going to be awesome, and then they're blurry.
Okay.
And I can only assume that autofocus was affected by the polarizing filter. It comes up almost never, but I think it's just because of the fact that it eats so much light that if you don't have enough contrast going on, it's just difficult for the autofocus to pick up. In this situation with your brother and your dad, there's an awful lot of light happening, a lot of contrast, so it's going to be no issues at all. And so it doesn't happen that often, but when it does, have a look there.
Okay.
Next week's challenge. Have you bought your polarizer yet, everybody? That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, they'll get one.
Awesome. They're awesome for black and white. They're awesome for a lot of things. You get a,
and just, I'm pretty sure they sell them on Amazon.
Hey, good point.
Yeah.
And if they do, which they do, buy it through our site. Oh, there you go.
I have a Hoya one.
Mine is also a Hoya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing is you don't want to buy a cheap one. You don't have to buy the most expensive one ever made, but you don't want to cheap out either. There's a reason it's cheap.
Right.
But, yeah, mine happens to be Hoya. I bought mine used. I stumbled across mine at the $10 table at a camera store.
I bought mine on Craigslist that I want to say paid about $40
there, for it. Exactly. And I think both of us got more than our money's worth on that one.
There you go.
Absolutely. Next week's challenge, Adam.
What is it?
Well, everything is, you know, it's summer. People are swimming. They're boating. So we're going to, the photo challenge this week is going to reflect that. Closets. No, water.
Oh, okay, water.
Which I had thought at first was a repeat, but I don't think it is.
Okay, I don't remember if it is, so I'm going to pretend that it isn't.
I remember, well, even if it is, do it better. That's the point.
Okay.
But I remember shooting one with that I held up. I dumped water out of a water bottle, and I thought, oh, that was water. That was deep blue.
Yeah. There was another one, though. You had, like, a shot at your dad's house where there was, like, I don't know, something you did with water, a tap with water. Was that water?
Yeah, it might have been. And then because Don, I remember Don was on the show and he did the one with the super long exposure at the water park.
Yeah, but that might have been clear blue.
That might have been clear blue. I don't remember. So the point is, if it's a repeat, it's a repeat. Just do better because, you know, we've all improved since then. And do something to do with water.
Okay.
That's it.
Great.
Reminder to shop on Amazon through our site, blah, blah, blah. Where can people find your stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com
and awesome.
Two Hosers Facebook site.
It's a good spot to go. Oh, and I should have mentioned last week, I have been posting, reposting my 50 strangers photos.
Right.
Which at this point might all be up. I don't know. I'm not sure how, what rate I'm doing them, when this is airing, and if blah, blah, blah. But I am reposting all those, so check those out. And those are all with found light. That was kind of part of what we did 2 weeks ago. On our show. Man, it's a lot of homework all tied together. And that I feel felt like this should be a lot easier to do. check my stuff out at alnetridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about all the stuff we just talked about.
Great.
Adam, until 10 minutes from now. Or next week. Okay, until next week for the we'll keep the illusion going. Get out there and make better photos.